Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. The weekend in the middle of February. This is the doldrums of winter. And guess what? We're going to lift your spirits right now. Just joining us in the studio, our friends from Long Road Distillery. It's been a long time since we've had them in here. But Johnny O and Jenny are here. And we're going to bust down some pretty cool cocktails. Bob, you set this up. What'd you ask them to do today?
Well, we want a new cocktails for 2018.
Okay.
And I don't know. I just seem like these guys make everything. If we're going to figure out some new stuff for the Great Lakes area or anywhere, let's go to the people that just create. Maybe you've got some ideas for us. It looks like you brought an entire bar with you. So I think we're in good shape.
Yeah, so we're excited to be here and share with you guys some cocktails. And we're going to try a few things that are to start simple, but maybe with some unfamiliar ingredients. And then we're going to work through some more complex cocktails. But these are all certainly things you can make at home that you can, next time you're grilling outside and you want to impress your friends, it's not just what you guys maybe smoked for 12 hours. It's you can whip up some pretty fancy cocktails that will really show them, take it to the next level here.
And sometimes it's hard to make a good drink after you smoke for 12 hours.
That's right. Depending on what you're smoking, huh?
Yeah.
But anyway, these guys are the experts. And so take it away, guys. Tell us what we're starting with.
So first up, we're going to do two cocktails, both featuring aquavit. So aquavit is a Scandinavian spirit that we make similar to gin in process, but instead of juniper flavors, it's a caraway and dill. And so the first one I'm going to make for you is called an aquavit gimlet. You probably all had a gimlet sometime. It's essentially vodka or gin with lime juice and simple syrup, only we're going to sub aquavit in. So it's 2 ounces of aquavit, a half ounce of fresh lime juice, and a half ounce of simple syrup. We're just going to shake that real quick with fresh ice. Then we're going to strain it into a cocktail glass for you, and it's top notch. It's one of my favorite cocktails, and a great way to introduce people to aquavit.
Now, I think being caraway and dill, that'd pair nice with potato salad. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, over the years, you guys have taught us a lot that this distilling process that you do, because you're distilling all your own spirits there. When we get to the top of a vodka and a gin are almost the exact same thing. And I'm wondering if this aquavit, and then we put in the aromatics or the flavors, but the distilling process comes from this similar grains when we're doing vodka and gin, which I was unaware of, but it's that finishing process that makes one of them vodka and one gin. Right, Jenny?
Yeah, so a vodka is traditionally a more neutral spirit, but when you're working with gins and aquavits, you're going to be adding some other botanicals to that. So with gin, it's usually juniper. There can be a host of other things in there. For our dry gin, we're using 7 different botanicals. But then with aquavit, it's the same process as a gin, but instead of using juniper as the predominant flavor, we're going to be using dill or caraway. So even though the base, it's going to have some of those same sweetnesses from the red winter wheat that we use for the majority of our clear spirits, but those botanicals really shine in the finished product.
So while he's twisting this up,
yes.
You know, as I'm sitting here thinking, you guys got the little boiling still with the curls of copper tubing, and then it drips out. You know, those are the things you saw on TV and in the movies and stuff. But describe this process, because you guys are taking all these raw ingredients that are sourced by you, and you're making this. What does that process look like?
Yeah, so to do the distilling process, you have to start off with something that's already fermented. So we're starting off with a very, very generic fermented thing. And for all the products we're going to be tasting right now, it's all from a red winter wheat. But then what we do in the still is we separate out the alcohol from everything else in there. So if we start off with something that has 7% alcohol, we want to isolate that alcohol off, and that's where we get spirits. So we do that through evaporation. And if you guys can come down to our still or our distillery, please do, because we do some pretty in-depth tours. But what we're able to do is evaporate off the alcohol because it has a lower boiling point than water. We're able to isolate it, and that's what we craft spirits off of.
So okay. you're collecting that alcohol and using it in the next parts of the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And there's not too many parts to the process after we do that. So if it's an aged spirit, we're going to put it into a barrel. But what we're doing and why we're a craft distillery is because we're taking that pure alcohol, and that's what we're making the spirit out of.
Cool. So now people get into this craft like a brewing beer. Can people just brew or distill liquor at home like they brew beer?
Not legally. So,
not legally.
You can find the equipment. We don't recommend it because you can. There's a lot more chances for explosions during
blow yourself distil- up.
distillation. So there's a little bit more risk involved. But no, you can't legally distill at home.
Okay, that's very
come
disappointing.
Come on, Roscoe, this ain't
very
a
disappointing. Well, I've seen this reality show a couple of times.
Well, sure, you
distillers
have.
Or something. Yeah. I don't know what, right. Moonshiners. I don't know what they call it, but it's pretty funny. And these old boys are in the hills in Kentucky and Tennessee, and they're really sophisticated with what they're doing. They've got these giant shacks, and you know, there's just this little drip, drip, drip coming out the side of the hill, and
it's. For people that maybe I know have tried it at home, it also can be a bit disappointing because your yield is so small. So you only get like 10% of what you started off with. So, you know, it's not something that you're going to be able to make batches and batches of under the table.
Whereas you can just go to the liquor store and buy Long Road and get 100% of your
yield. Yeah, and you know it's good. Professionals made it.
So let's talk about this first gimlet that we have here, because there is definitely, I can taste the notes of the caraway that are in there. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit nutty, and maybe, I don't know, was there wasn't any salt on the rim, but I'm getting a little bit of a salty taste on that too. Are you catching that, Bob?
That's because we're sharing a glass.
Right.
I worked out this morning.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, it's good that we're sharing a glass, honestly. I mean, you know, you are my partner in a lot of ways, but at this point, there's enough alcohol in there to kill anything that might have.
No real danger. This lip fungus is going away anyway. Right. It's not a big deal.
Right.
So, that's, you know, I can't say that I've ever really cared for gimlets. I used to drink them back in the like late 80s or something. They made their run.
When you thought they were cool?
They were, they had their run and then they went away. That's pretty good.
So a traditional...
And that's easy to make.
Yep. I think the most important thing is it's, you know, for us, it's all about fresh. So that lime juice in a bottle at the store, that little plastic lime, don't buy that stuff.
Right.
Get an $8 juicer, buy some fresh limes, squeeze it fresh on site. It just makes all the difference in the world when you're making cocktails to use fresh ingredients.
That's a great point. And the juicer is so handy to use even for cooking. So you should have one if you don't.
Wow. Yeah. So Jenny's going to pour out another cocktail for you here. And this is called the Red Lion. This is sort of a riff on a traditional Martinez cocktail. And this features our old Aquavit, which is a barrel-aged version of the Aquavit. Our raspberry liqueur, which just got released here last week. Which is made from fresh Michigan raspberries and has sugar. It's it contains about a pound of raspberries in every pint.
In every pint?
In every pint, there's a pound of Michigan raspberries.
Holy
and then a
cow.
Bit of sweet vermouth. And so this is a stirred cocktail, so kind of that traditional sort of up like a martini would be. And it's just got a ton of depth of flavor. It's got some herbaceous notes, some bitter notes, some bright notes.
Okay, you're using terminology, Johnny.
Herbaceous.
That are
herbaceous.
This is above grilling guy vocabulary. So we're gonna have to visit that back. But
we like the crude jokes and stuff, you know,
right?
Yeah. Like you know, smoke stuff like that.
But Martinez herbaceous, was the first one, or martini. what does that term mean?
Yeah, a Martinez is actually kind of where the martini started. And before a martini became the drink that it is today, the Martinez, they used a sweet product to sort of help mellow out some of the harsh tones.
So that's a Puerto Rican cocktail.
It's actually...
Let's go to a break.
It's a California cocktail.
Killing us. Hey, we're going to continue to sample these cocktails, but coming up next, Cowboy Rob Russell's got a little bit of rib advice for us. Stick with us. We'll be back. A little more, right?